Dear, let us pray. Father, we invoke your rich blessing upon us tonight, especially helping us with dealing with the word that Brother Branham brought us, even based upon what you gave him to write. And we believe the words came from you, Lord, and they mean something very, very important this hour. Yes, they actually form a basis for what was to come forth under the seals and thereafter until he deceased from amongst us. Father, we pray that we might know the things that he desired to teach us, which were taught to him by you, and we all together then may become one in the word in this great invisible union with you. Help us tonight, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 9, and we're only on page 19, as I mentioned. We're not going to try to cover the two messages and then the third message given down in Georgia, which really epitomizes the other two messages, which lasted about 6 hours. And tonight I hope we don't go very long either, because it's communion service and foot washing, and then tomorrow morning, of course, coming back at 10 o'clock and having a service and having dinner, and then some folk, of course, have to depart from home. So we're looking at this ninth message here now, and in our last message, based on Brother Branham's sermon, that the spoken word is the original seed, we commented on his scriptural thesis that since Eve was a byproduct and outside the original spoken word creation, she could become a hybridizer with the beast and bring forth a vast population of serpent seed Cainites, who were very religious and would eventually and finally produce a natural brute beast church built upon the perverted and incorrect division of the word. This final crop would be exterminated wholly because it was hybrid, and therefore not the planting of God. Now we're talking about the original spoken word. And thus had no representation, no promise, and no place to stand there in the set forth. There's no way that they could possibly be in that great congregation of the righteous. And then these people are set. There are those who are set forth in Brother Branham's ministry here in the teaching that they are the true word seed, word germ bride of God. And he noted that they came forth in every generation. And remember, he said, a generation starts every day. And we looked into that, where generations could be 40 years, you could call it a 20-year, you could call it 100, you could call it 1,000, as it is in the book of Genesis. You just realize, though, that speaking here, Brother Branham would be very correct in putting its generation starting every single day. And yet there are periods which are also called generations. So anyway, there would be a true word seed bride that came forth in every generation, and so then these hybrids would follow every time until they end in Hebrews 6 and in Mark 13, 24 to 30. Now, if you go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, you'll see a consummation there. And every time you see the word fire, you understand there's no place you're ever going to see fire until the end. Because that's the way it is. You can't have fire and fire and fire and fire. You got water, fire. One time. Okay, it says here then, for it's impossible, the fourth verse, for those who were once for all enlightened have tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, to renew them again to repent, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now that tells you what is going to take place at the end time. And you'll notice it's end time because it's for the earth which drinketh in the rain that come oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it's dressed. That's harvest. Receives blessing from God. But that which beareth briar, thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So it tells you right there that at that particular time, when whose fan is in his hand, he thoroughly purges for and gathers wheat in the garner, without a doubt, you're coming right to the end time when you can expect the burning. And the burning, of course, is thorns and briars. And it says, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And there's your parallelism of Scripture. Your two runs that parallel together, the true vine, the false vine, the blessing, the cursing. And most people don't understand that. But notice Paul didn't even have to say that. And yet always true to the way in which Scripture is set forth, he's very true here. So he mentions the blessing and the cursing. the wheat gathered into the garner, and the others are not. So you can see there's going to be a complete crop of the tares and the briars and those things which are cursed. Now remember that the very things he's talking here, the briars and the thorns, are a curse to God's true human race. As set forth in the book of Genesis, the earth is cursed. Remember, the earth received two cursings. One because Adam was disobedient, the second was because of Cain. And you'll notice at the end time there's a double dose. That's why the church is purged, the Jews are purged, Israel's purged, and the earth is purged. See, so all these things come together. The Bible is perfect in every way. Like the 119th Psalm says how perfect it is. Now, over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we've read this different times, and Brother Branham mentions it also on many, many occasions. We have 24 to 30, and here we are eventually. Another parable put it forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto man which sowed good seed in his field. Now, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, why does he say the kingdom of heaven? Well, Brother Branham categorically said that God's headquarters was the Garden of Eden. So if the headquarters was the Garden of Eden, then the whole earth was to be the kingdom of heaven. That's why you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one day is going to be exactly that. So you see how what we're looking at. Kingdom of heaven. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. The servants of the householder came and said, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said, an enemy hath done this. The servant said, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? And he said, no, that's why you gather the tares, you root up the wheat with them also. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the end time, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, Brother Branham made a lot of the bundling of the tares, which was the ecumenical move. And so, if people think we're going to get out of here tomorrow, I would advise you don't bank on it. There could be quite a while before there's a bride getting off of this earth. Brother Branham didn't make any vague promises or threats. He was right to the letter, and he said the churches like ours would be closed. And now that Mr. Clinton is president, with the homos running the government, you see what he's done by mandate. And the Democratic government is literally Democratic, and you got a lot of Republican liberals, they'll see that it happens. So therefore, when I open my mouth and say, these people are condemned to God, they can shut my mouth, throw me in prison, and close this church. Because the government now is God. They're legislating for God. But it says, don't let it bug you. Let it bother you. Lift up your heads and rejoice, because your redemption, which is already evident, there it is right there, pillar of fire, over the prophet, bringing forth vindication to you and me, that Holy One, God Himself, stands in our midst, the shout having gone forth, waiting for the voice, and after the voice comes the trumpet, to the wedding supper where you crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now the question is, who are you going to crown? That's Jesus. Is He God? No. He's the Son of God. I've been preaching this for years, and I still not get it to some of you people that have been coming here for years. How many believe you're born again? Let me see your hands. Come on, don't sit there like a bunch of... All right. Answer the next question. If you are truly born again, are you a part of God? I don't see hands. What's Matthew? Why bother the preacher? Let's go home. I'm serious. I've been challenged on this as a false teacher. If you have a part of God, is there then a part of you which is eternal and never was created? That's better. The next question is, does that make you God? That if Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and the only difference between Him and God is that He had a beginning, does that make Him God? Yes or no? Well, don't be afraid to answer me. No! Any more than your God, or 3 million people make the Elohim a God. There's a total misunderstanding of things. But men are so arrogant and ignorant. That I've been challenged. Is the church age book right? It is personally. Because that is the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I preach the becoming God in pages 4 to 8, that doesn't make Jesus God. Shows how God took the path to become flesh. And if you have any sensibility at all, you can understand anything of Alpha to Omega. And if you don't understand Alpha, you can understand Omega, because Brother Branham said it's a pyramidal city, 1,500 miles each way, with the Lamb, L-A-M-B, on the throne, and the pillar of fire above the throne. So the Son has handed everything back to the Father. He may become all in all. Is that too hard to understand? And watch your step, brother. Lest you be led astray. Now, I'm not an easy guy to fool with and mix with. You better know what you're talking about. You say, Brother Ben, I don't agree with what you teach. You don't have to. But you better be able to prove me wrong. Yeah. All right. We're looking at the word tares. We're at the end time. And whether you want to believe it or not, you are before the white throne. Now, I can make a lot of jokes. I can be very frivolous. I can be very foolish. When it comes to this word, forget it. That's a different thing entirely. We're dealing with life and death. And I'm up here dealing with your lives. And I will answer not you for what I teach. You understand, Brother Branham said it? And I'm no different from him. Now, if my mission is to fool you, I'm doing a pretty good job. If my mission is to lead you right, then you'd better believe you are being led right. There's a harvest. How did they get here? We'll talk about that tonight. This is what Brother Branham is talking about. In particular, to show how the hybrids follow the true seed. He gives us the last paragraph on page 18. Now we're dealing with original spoken word is original seed. And in there, he has gone right back to the Garden of Eden. And in there, we saw him call Eve an hybrid, which he has every right to on the grounds of illustration. But he does not use it, in my understanding, as a complete dictum or basic premise. For he goes on to say that she was a hybridizer. And you take any animal that can hybridize, the commingling, doesn't mean that the two that commingled were themselves hybrids, but did produce by the mixing of the species a hybrid. Therefore, they were hybridizers. All right, you understand what I'm saying? See, I don't agree, Brother Bill. Well, start your own church. I've quoted you. Everything here is what the prophet said. I don't pretend to understand, but I understand a certain amount of it. Now, he talks about now the church. And remember, Paul, in speaking of the church, and William Branham has to stay with Paul, he said to the church, I have espoused you to Christ as a virgin, but I've got my suspicions that you've fallen for Satan, the same as Eve did. Because he mentions her. So therefore, Brother Branham is now taking Eve to be the church. You say, what about Adam? Ah, also church. Because the church is the family of God. So therefore now, within the church, we have a weak link, because Adam was not deceived. Eve was. It doesn't say that Adam didn't get into sin. He certainly did. Adam was not deceived. He was tempted and went blindly with both eyes open into the temptation. And as Brother Branham said, he played God. Because he immediately made her his wife, period. Which anybody knows, no woman is truly a wife until the man and woman have cohabited. You're going to annul any marriage if that cohabitation didn't take place. They'd call it annulment. Each person would be free. So now Brother Branham is speaking. And he's talking to the church. Now we see the church right here. Where it'll wind up. It dies there. It cannot bring forth of its kind. That's the hybrid camp. Why? It's mixed. You can do nothing with it. It's dead. It's finished. All right. That's why each generation had its own revival. The chance at the word. Oh, the sovereign God. At the judgment, John Wesley's group will rise up. And those starch-washed Methodists of today will answer for it. Luther will rise up. And the Catholics will rise up. That and back behind Irenaeus and Martin and Polycarp. That was in the Catholic era, that 1,000 years of blackness. And those will have to stand in the judgment for the hybridizing the word of God to dogmas. This group of Lutherans that followed Luther's revival will answer the same thing. The group of Baptists followed John Smith's revival do the same thing. Alexander Campbell do the same thing. Pentecostal do the same thing. The original had original revival when the Holy Ghost fell, called out the people, and God trying to get his word to it, and the organizers set over there and denominated and died right there. Every generation, every church age, and within the age, every generation, God brings his word, which is a pure, unadulterated word for that hour. And you'll notice that a certain group takes it, and a certain group that takes it to begin with never touches it. It's amen, hallelujah, that's it. There's a bunch right in there at the same time. They will take that same word, and they will hybridize it. And from that point on, you'll find the third group that is entirely reprobate or serpent seed. All right. They're dead. Now, John 8 tells you how that they said, we follow Moses. Well, they said, that's strange. Moses spoke to me. And he told you that the prophet coming was of such caliber, having been vindicated, that everybody that didn't hear his voice, period. And don't try to put words in his mouth. Don't try to put thoughts in his head. Don't try to get him to believe what you believe, say what you say, and do what you do. Every man that comes against him dies. Repeats at the end time. You say, but look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Hey, man, look at this big group of people. They talk about Jesus. They do wonderful things. They love, 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 day and night. That's why I can't stand the word love unless you give it the same meaning that I give it, which is love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And there's only one conduit for the Holy Ghost, and that is the Word. And if you don't love that Word with all your heart and all your mind, if you're ashamed of it, you're finished. Don't give me this junk about love, love, love. John looked at the great church, the whore. And he looked at her with exceeding admiration. That's why you got the government stepping in so the whole world can have one church and everybody loves each other and everybody's going to look out for each other and everybody's going to pat on each other's back no matter what your sin is, and you can be a rotten, lousy profligate. You can be a filthy, rotten, homosexual dog, a lesbian, and go in the pulpit here and in the Lutheran church take their clothes off and dance naked. It doesn't matter because we all love the Lord. You think we haven't come already to that place? Wake up and smell the coffee. Smarten up. We're not looking down the road. We're looking now. It wasn't before us. Brother Branham said one day, they'll just take the tablecloth off and you'll see what's on the table. Or under the table. Yeah, look how beautiful. Look at their results. Hospitals, this, that, and the thing. And you guys got no love. If you had love down here in that little old Grace Gospel Church near St. Paris, why, you'd just have everybody and you'd cater to them. You'd be like that guy in Lima. He went over to New Zealand. My friend wrote me and he said, you talk about puke. He nauseated me. He stood there and he told us, the congregation, he said, I will not quote William Branham over my pulpit because my friends and my neighbors and people that I know don't like it. It only discourages them. So I don't preach it. And what's he do, sneak up on him? William Branham preached end time evangelism. Then he sneered at Prussia in the presence. I told you for years now, people believe the presence like I do. I'm wrong. I'm going to quit preaching it. But they've reduced it to a doctrine like serpent seed. If this is the pillar of fire, which it is, if that is the Jehovah, because Jesus means Jehovah Savior. If that is Jehovah Savior, and there's no Savior outside of him, will you call him a doctrine like unto serpent seed? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you folk are too anxious for cliches. You better watch your cliches. Now, I might mean this building here. I'm talking outside this building, too, because I'm on TV. No, I'm on a TV camera there, or crime camcorder. They play them a lot of different places. He said, we'll get that a little later on. But the results of beautiful whore. She's all glorious without, but she's full of worms within. She's like Herod. The day he made the great speech and God struck him down, the worms ate him internally. Shows what he was. Look what they're doing. We'll get that a little later today. We're coming down to the principle. I'm just putting the seed in now. Then we're going to show what happened after a while. Now, that's why each generation has its revival.
And God raises them up a man, sets him with his word, starts him up with the message for that age. Now he's talking about himself too at the end time. And as soon as a man is taken off the scene, somebody else catches it and hybridizes it, and it falls back. What's it mean, falls back? It means that people are back to where they were before the word came to bring them out of it. Because remember, the word is the conduit to the for the Holy Spirit. And if you preach a mechanically correct word, the Spirit of God has to come to it. But if you haven't got anybody there to receive it, it's just history. An unwritten page, there's nothing to write. Now, go back in history. That's exactly what and how it started way in the beginning of Genesis. Now watch. God sent forth his crop of human race. So God's crop, as the sower of the seed, is the human race. Who's the human race? Adam and Eve. Now remember, Eve was in Adam. And when she came out, remember, she was only a byproduct and took only a portion of that which was in Adam that belonged to her that she could take, which was the feminine part, which Brother Branham said was absolutely for reproduction. So therefore, when you speak of Adam, when God said, let us make man in our image, and the image of God created he him, you have the perfect picture. Because it says again, male and female created he them. Why didn't he say that in the beginning? Because that wasn't what was in the beginning. The original was simply the light. Then the light was divided or created in a particular manner I don't understand. I just read my Bible. And there's a sequence there. And Brother Branham absolutely said the image of God was spirit. So don't try to get some image that you think you've got of God, even though Brother Branham said the image that man had of God was broken. You better be careful how you're applying it. Now let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's not some veiled threat, that's the word of God. All right. The next thing was, male and female created he them. Specifically for the propagation of what? What was in the beginning, which was, he made him Adam. And in the end, when Christ stands in the midst, spoken of over here in Hebrews, the second chapter, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. See? He's what he's doing. Now, that's the ultimate. Now, notice, it became him for whom are all things? No. But we see, verse 9, we see Jesus made a lord of the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. The word man is not in the Greek. It should be in italics. Now get that flat and you look it up for yourself. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons. It doesn't once say one thing about a woman. It doesn't say one thing about a female. In his image he made Adam. Male and female created he them for propagation. So the original is the male. The original is the light. And when you talk about a life stream, you don't talk about male and female except for the purpose of breeding. Because horse life is horse life and cow life is cow life and human life is human life. And the only reason you got male and female is for the appurtenance thereof and the requirement to bring forth. And it comes by breeding. God wants sons. And he has the only begotten son. Now all these sons are there. And they'll come forth at the end time. Now, that's the original. When God put him there in the garden. He put him there to bring forth the human race, and he couldn't do it by himself. He couldn't even till the ground or prune a tree. So he put him in a human body. And therein, putting in a human body, he opened them up to be the top-notch mammal, because man is mammalian, the same as a goat or a dog or a mouse. Take your pick, mousy, ratsy, I don't care what you are. But they weren't made the image of God, and they don't have souls. This is how Brother Branham picked his evolution. You don't come from a single cell, everything developed from some little thing, like the goofy scientists got it figured out. Scientists, so-called, what do they know? They're liars. The word scientist means to know. Latin word skill. I know that much. I haven't forgot that much Latin, even after 60-some years or 70 years. Now 60-some years, huh? I'm old before my time. Now he brought forth his crop of human race. Now in the garden, there's two of them. And Eve hybridized it. See what happened. So there's the judgment for Eve. It doesn't say that Adam hybridized it, because Adam copulated with Eve and brought forth Abel. Her copulation brought forth Cain. All right. We're talking about the church and how these things got messed up, not just marriage and divorce. Now, see what happened. So there's the judgment for Eve. Now, I'm going to skip something here because it's an interpolation. But for you that might think I'm doing something on my own, instead of trying to treat you right and show you the word as Brother Branham taught it, I will go ahead and do it. See, I bend over backward. I don't even need to. If you have a ministry greater than mine to set me right, why aren't you being phoned day by day? Why aren't the phone calls and the letters coming to you? How that men's lives are completely revolutionized. I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you something. Just don't shove me too far. So there's the judgment for Eve. But the righteous shall not come into the judgment. Let us sink in. Let us sink in. You want to challenge me? Come on. I don't care who you are. I'm not idle tonight. I'm not idle any night. The smart Greek student that said Brother Branham made a mistake. Perfect hasn't come. Because Brother Branham prophesied he made the statement in 1963, but prophesied the fall of Los Angeles in 64. So therefore, the prophet's an error. I don't care how Greek a student that man was. He didn't know the Bible. Perfect means finished, concluded, polished. You can't take one thing or add to it. And William Branham brought us that word. He's now perfect because the errors were corrected. I stood still for about 5 seconds to get the answer. I'll stand 5 minutes and any answer you want to throw at me tonight. I can't answer all your questions, but I can defend and prove what I'm talking about when I talk in this pulpit. I'll be called home pretty soon or be gone. After tomorrow, when I'll be back to preach, I don't know. Now, Luther set forth, all the rest, they set forth, Christ set forth, the apostles set forth, the prophets set forth. Didn't Jesus say, which one of you hath not your fathers persecuted the prophets that God sent? Didn't he teach that a king one time said his servant, and then sent another servant, and so forth, and finally his son? Each generation receiving, because it's repeating right back to Adam and Eve again. Adam and Eve! So when he preached byproduct, hybridizer, even to use the word hybrid, he wasn't just whistling Dixie. He said, I'm taking it back to the garden. I'm taking it back to the garden. You hear what I said? I'm quoting the prophet. Listen. The first crop in the Garden of Eden, half of them lost. Wise virgin, sleeping virgin. Half of them. One kept the word, the other hybridized it. Right back and forth, just as hard as it can go, right like that, has been right down through the ages. We'll prove it by God's word and by the history here. That's right, hybridizing. Hybridizing first starts in Eden, started in Genesis. Now, I'm going to read it. And I'm going to leave out the interpolation because Brother Branham didn't need to. But he did it in defense of his own mission and his station. Threw this in here about the king sending the servants, leading us to go where it finally came to the end when the last one sent his son. They destroyed him, the first crucifixion. There ends the second crucifixion with another man identical to Paul. And there you will see now the burning. And it all goes back to Eden. E-D-E-N. God's place of government. Where he put his children, particularly his child, his son. Sons only have life. Women don't. Brother Branham told you it was because the Ephesians believed that the woman's womb, because they wanted all kinds of sex any way they could get it, the woman's womb contained the seed. And of course, the man, he'd have to go after it, wouldn't he, to make sure the seed came. Oh, yeah. I could tell you a lot of things. Why bother? Taking my own experience, God gave me visions. Concerning what was going on, way before I knew a thing about Brother Branham's ministry, only knew about him. I was hardly 36 years old. That's a long time now. Saw the same thing in Pentecost. Strictly taken over by the devil, don't even know it. Started in Eden. Now, let me get this and show you where there's no interpolation what happens. He said, go back. That's in biblical history. Show you what exactly and how it started in the beginning in Genesis. God set forth his crop of human race. And Eve hybridized it. See what happened? So there's the judgment for Eve. See? Now, half of them lost. Wise virgin, sleeping virgin. Half of them, one kept the word. The other one hybridized it. Who's he talking about? Adam and Eve. Who was the 50% that didn't come against the word and wasn't deceived? Adam. Paul said so. He did not illustrate the way Brother Branham did, because Brother Branham here was told to bring all what he's bringing out here and take you back to the beginning in detail, which Paul did not do. So that you might know the mystery that lies behind the mysteries. All right. Right back and forth, just as hard as it can go. In other words, it's going on right now, just like it was back there. And it's been down through up the ages. We'll prove it by God's word and by history here. That's right, hybridizing. All right, let's go to Paul. Paul the Apostle. We go to 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And I'm working myself to death, but I shouldn't be because I'm not
too well in the first place. And he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, if I look up the chaste virgin bit and I find out what a chaste virgin was, she's supposed to have the cloth of her virginity, which as far as I can figure would be the menstrual period just before she marries the man to prove she's not pregnant. Well, you figure it out if I'm wrong or not. We don't draw the same conclusion. Today she could be on the pill and had 15 sleazy scumbags with her 15 nights in a row. We got the word test today, thank God. Don't have to go by menstrual period. For some stupid physical sign. See, the baptism does not have any emotion. And jiggity jig and jumpity jump and sensation. It's without sensation. And visibility is whether you got it or not, you respond to this word. Brother Branham said so. Try to sell that to the Branham cult. To the cult, I said. The true Branhamite, he'll go with Brother Branham. But I fear lest by any means. Now listen, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So therefore, Eve is typing as one woman this bunch. The woman. Right, he that cometh preach another Jesus and so on, another spirit, another word and so on. Now, Paul throws in an interpolation just like Brother Branham. He starts defending himself. Who cares about defending Paul? We know he was vindicated. So skip the vindication. And when he says in here, he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom you not preach, with another spirit which you have not received, another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And then he says down here, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. How many men came to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, I'm going to show you what the word really is. Don't they think they come to me and shall try to show me what the word really is too? Say, Brother Bain, you're just hard and vain. I am not. I'm just telling you the truth. If I'm going to be up here, don't anybody try to come to me and tell me to preach your sermon and your ideas to this people. I'm not such a patsy or a sucker for anybody. In fact, I'll pack my grips and get out of here. That's just not an idle threat. If you want to take over, take over. That goes for the whole church. Call a conference. Get on your telephone. Be my guest. Won't hurt me one little bit. I was called years ago. I've been through the trials, the heartache, the mugging, the stabbings, and everything else. Kicked out of pulpits for my stand for Jesus Christ. Where have you been all these years? I'm rough tonight. That's okay. That's my business. I could be 10 times rough the way I feel. We've got 45 minutes to go, maybe. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now listen, what is he telling you? These men are standing up with a perverted doctrine, and they say, like the serpent said to Eve, one who walks silently and you cannot see him, but you can hear his voice and listen to Adam. No, no, no. Listen to me. And she exalted the creature above the Creator. And the creature took her to the place of even worshiping four-footed animals and beasts and things, like the Pope embraces voodoo. And America sends food to India so they can give it to the rats. Let charity begin at home. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light, the giving of the true word of God. Therefore, is it that's no great thing if these ministers also be transformed. Now, they do it themselves as ministers of righteousness.
righteous ministers are those that correctly interpret the Word of God to you and teach it to you and hold your noses in it. Your conduct is only secondary to your faith.
Ministers' righteousness, whose end shall be according to works.
Now, what am I talking about? Very good question. I'm over here, and I'm talking about Moses now. Because we're talking about Exodus, William Branham and the Exodus. William Branham likened himself to two men, Moses and Paul, not Jesus. No. Moses and Paul. And William Branham brought the same message Paul did, but he revealed in such a way we know the truth, and therefore the power of it. Now Moses. Moses came out of, almost said Texas. No, I didn't. I was going to use the word Mexico. I thought I'd just kid you a little bit there. Moses came out of Egypt. And with him came a mixed multitude. And do you know what happened? The crowd that didn't believe, the unbelievers, immediately went to sensation. So when Balaam and his gang opened up the whoredoms and adulteries at Baal Peor, which is positively a sexual festivity, they all went for it. 23,000 died in one day, and God never did forgive them. They were the serpent seed. The rest of them were the foolish virgins that wandered in the desert for 40 years, and only two were left. Wise virgin. They went in. Who then went in? The young ones, under 20, maturing, coming to the place where they finally knew that vindication was a vindication, that God was God, that this was the Word, they went in. So, you see, the wise virgin, the foolish virgin, and the reprobate unbeliever. Y'all follow me. All right. Let's go a little further. We want to go to Matthew 22. When I get through with this bit, we're going to quit. That's nothing, hardly a page. Okay. Jesus answered by parables, and he talked about a marriage being ready. I prepared oxen and fatlings. They laughed at it. The remnant took the servants and beat them. The king got angry. He sent forth his armies, destroyed and burned up the cities. He said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Now listen, there's a bunch of people left over. Now remember, this is a parable, but there's a lot of truth in it. Brother Bannon explained it. The wedding's ready, not worthy. Go into the neighbor, the highways and byways and so on. Tell them, come to the marriage. They went out and did so. And what did they do? They found both good and bad. And they were furnished with, they furnished the wedding with guests. And the king came in to see the guests, and he saw there a man which didn't have a wedding garment on. And he said, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment? And he's speechless. See, he's speechless because, hey, he didn't know he was supposed to have a garment on. And when he sat there different from all the rest, he just said, hey. He just kind of, you know, like he'd been on smoking dope or something. Nothing registered. No, it didn't register. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast out of darkness. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called and few are chosen. Now the chosen were at the wedding supper with wedding garments. And when Brother Branham was asked this question about the one without the garment, he said, that's the one that sits among you not believing. I'm here to dress a bride. Bring on your holy vesture with the Word of God standing by. great tribulation. Right? All right. I think you understand. We go now to, I think I'll take you to Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 10, the seals are open. The tree of life is in full view. Immortality comes in. And as soon as it does, the whole exterior goes to homosexuals, lesbians, sorcerers, the magic workers. Those are working drugs like the druggists and everything else are in there with all this stuff. The whoremongers, the murderers, idolaters, who loves and makes a lie. Now, watch. 18. I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy's book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. But the man that takes away, he gets his part taken away, the book of life, and out of the holy city. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. With that in mind, we go back to Genesis. And in Genesis 3 and 14, the Lord God sent the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. He are cursed. Every beast of the field, upon your belly you go, dust eat all the days of life. Enmity to you and to the woman. Woman's seed and your seed, one, you know, steps on the head, the other bruises the heel. Other one, he said, now watch, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, he shall rule over thee. But unto Adam he said, two different descriptions, two different covenants, two different things entirely. Now, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened the voice of thy wife, and eaten of the tree which I commanded thee. He did not say, you did not believe me, you did not listen to me. He said simply, when it came to a choice of obedience, you deliberately, believing me, not denying me, you went for her, because she's yours, she's a part of you, and now you're standing in my way because you took her. You follow me? You got different types in here, but don't mix your types. Brother Branham didn't mix his types. We don't intend to mix ours. Because all scripture has compound meanings. You better be very careful to do it. Now watch what he says. Thou shalt not eat of it. That's what I told you. Now for what happens? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it. And all the days of life, thorns also thistles shall it bring forth. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. Now remember, Brother Branham said what he did, not what Adam did. Built every hospital, killed every child, made everybody murderers. It was not Adam. Kind of shocking, isn't it? Where do you go from here? Notice Eve. Eve herself was cursed. In the legitimate sense of cursing, meaning that she is going to suffer for what she did. And if you've got any brains, you'll know tonight that it is never the man who suffers when adultery is committed. It's the woman who gets pregnant. So girls, lighten up. The boys want you for one thing, as Brother Branham said, he's meant to take it. And you're a complete fool to give it, unless you're married. I preach blunt. I'll not pull my punches for anybody. Now, if you were listening, but you don't have to if you know more than I do, if you were listening, you would have caught what I read in the book of Revelation. When you add to the word, you get the plagues. Eve added to the word. She got the plagues. Eve is the foolish virgin. And the church gets purged in the tribulation. And Israel gets purged. And the earth gets purged. Now, notice what he said in Matthew 22. He said in Matthew 22, many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, we look at the picture of comparison. The foolish virgin is many, many, many times more than is the elect, select bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church of the earth, which is not Sarah, but is Hagar, is many, 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 many more times. And they're burnt. We go now to Jude. Now we read it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. This man isn't a prophet even, but he's telling you what he got. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, the common salvation is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, you should earnestly contend for the faith was once for all delivered unto the saints. He said, there's only one faith, it has been delivered. And he said, if you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Now remember, Paul was the one who was absolutely aggrandized by God, or vindicated by God, set forth positively with, thus saith the Lord, this is that one you listen to. Just the same as that voice within me said, if you ever listen to any man, listen to this one. Now that doesn't mean you listen to me. I'm just doing my best to help you. For certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old, to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God and lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Jesus Christ. It doesn't say the only Lord God, even our Lord. You could say that true, the supreme deity. But what am I trying to really bring out? I'm trying to bring out the fact here that as the serpent came into the garden, when her actual husband Adam, of whom she was a part, ordained by God, she was alone, and the serpent crept in, and she listened. I will therefore put you in remembrance that though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not, by their works you know them, right away in adultery, and the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, yet reserved in chains, the everlasting chains of darkness on the day of judgment, of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. Now, what do you think of sodomy there? Are set forth as examples, suffering for the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, keep your finger there. Let's go back to the book of Galatians. The sixth chapter. They won't know. I don't want that fifth chapter. Right? Galatians here. The seventh verse of Galatians 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, Bill Clinton has stood for sowing to the flesh. And the Bible that his wife carried was opened at Galatians chapter 6, 7, and 8. Bill Clinton has sown to the flesh. America's doomed. Send your kids to the local schools. They're going to have to teach sexual orientation to the third sex. And they'll let you know that you don't tell them nothing, but they tell you everything. And you cannot charge them to change their ways, but they can force you to change your ways. So America, 1993, add 7 years, 2000, has shot its wad. And the great Baptist boy will stand in the judgment that even a good Baptist wouldn't even look at him the second time. What's going to happen to the flesh? Sodom and Gomorrah are going to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. And only those who believe in Elijah are going to make it. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, be given dignities. Yet Michael and so on, down the line. Woe unto them. Run the way of Cain. Go the way of Kor. Right down the line. Now verse 12. They are spots in your feasts of love. When they feast with you. Feeding themselves without fear. Say, Brother Bale, that couldn't happen to us people who believe the brand of message. Poach. Why don't you just go home and pretend you're not even born? Anybody that defies this scripture and thinks that Brother Branham lied when he said every church has three kind of believers has been aborted somewhere. He's never come to full gestation. There's no way. Because this person could not be a son of God who defies the word, especially a vindicated prophet. Raging. What does it say? Feeding themselves without fear. Clouds without water. Carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth. Without fruit, twice dead. At the end time, they're twice dead because the children are killed with death. Which is separation from God. Because when God leaves his earth, in the form of the Holy Spirit with his bride, it is over, period. And the foolish virgin are completely destroyed. Because, you see, the plagues are added to the foolish virgins. That's what we're talking about. This whole thing is brought out here. Now, I haven't got time. Let's go to the bottom. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. How are you going to do that? Sticking with his word. Exactly as given by the prophet. Praying in the Holy Ghost. No. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto the eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. That's your foolish virgin. So I don't believe it. Well, you've got to be crazy to not believe that. Because Brother Branham placed the foolish virgin, Eve, in the judgment. And that's where the foolish virgin comes up in Matthew 25. Right or wrong? Do you believe it? Raise your hands. Come on, you gutless tonight. Let me see some response. Well, you don't believe the prophet. So Brother Bailey made up. You're liars. I never made it up. I didn't even know and have a conjecture or have an understanding. My God, what is this scripture talking about? So Brother Branham said, it was the wise and foolish virgin. And the foolish virgin are judged by their works. They're not in the grand election of the elect. So, now what are we driving at? We're driving at this. 1, 2, 3. There are the elect of God who get the word and stand with the word, and they're the bride. Wise virgin. Now, that's Adam. Sons. Number 2, Eve. Number 2 is the foolish virgin. She adds to the word. Right? Adds to the word. Then she gets the plagues. She's judged. And she's outside the city. Follow me? The others take away. They're destroyed. That's your serpent. Now, if you don't believe it, you just go where Cain went. He divided the word any way he wanted. And when God stood there to correct him, he threw the whole word back in the face of God. He said, who needs you? Why do you think, being God, you can deal with me the way you deal? Why do you think you can put a word here and then you tell me there's a certain way it must be read and obeyed and understood? Huh? One, two, three. Every single age the word comes to the males, the sons of God, by a prophet whoever God ordains. With that bunch, the foolish virgin, that's the wise, the foolish virgin is there. That one takes the word, but allows the addition to it. Then it goes plumb into the depth of sin and away from God. Then what does God do? He sends another man on the scene to do the very same thing over again and over again and over again. So endeth the lesson. Showing the wise and foolish virgin from the Garden of Eden to the white throne. Then anybody dare to say Brother Branham didn't say it right? That Brother Branham was not that prophet of God to bring it all out? We're going to read in a minute. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we look to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Knowing, Lord, that only you can bring the word out. No man can do it. But tonight, Lord, I believe I've had help from you. Not claiming any great thing whatsoever, but claiming, Lord, my faith in you, which is your own faith brought back to you, and your faith in me, Lord, which you gave in order to give me any kind of a ministry at all. To stand with the prophet, now stand with this word. He said it. And there it is, just as plain could be. The very things I wondered about so many years and couldn't figure how it was. But there it is laid out 100% in the Word of God. I believe we see it, Lord, and we thank you for it. And we can lay at rest these things which causes problems and doubt. And I trust, Lord, as we go to this supper tonight, which we believe one day is going to give forth to wedding supper. And whether we're there or not, we can say it, Brother Branham. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, we won't stand in her way. Well, that's true. We'd only stand in our own way. Because, Lord, we know that your will is going to come to pass regardless. Personally, I wish that I had a greater insight on that very thing and could rest more securely in it, in the fact, Lord, that it really doesn't matter what anybody does or says. That's not the point. The point is what you have done and said. And it's rather, that's right, done and said before you ever said anything, you did it. That's certainly the truth. We understand that. So, Lord God, we just trust tonight that somehow you work everything out, because it will be worked out. Your word, your way. We know that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just think we might as well go to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. My Bible's so well marked that it kind of falls open there anyway. Now, Paul is speaking there in verse 17. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but from the worse. And I brought that to your attention many, many times. You can go to church and leave in worse shape than you came. You can take the table of the Lord and leave in worse shape than you came. You can wash feet and cut, leave in worse shape than you came. The point is, how much can we humble ourselves to the word of Almighty God and allow God the privilege of doing what he wants to do in the way he wants to do it? Now, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Well, does Paul partly believe it, or does he believe it? I think what he's saying here is, I believe that a part of it is true, because I don't believe everything I hear. I'm not saying that's the exact interpretation. But otherwise, Paul is a little bit suave, and he could say, well, from what I've seen, and I've heard some pretty excellent men of real repute that wouldn't lie, I'm getting convinced that you've got trouble. We could have made that. But hey, when he wrote the first two chapters, there's no way he could say, I partly believe thee, because he hit him right between the eyes on what they were doing about Peter and all the rest. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. Well, did he just say that on hearsay? Now, come on. The Bible's not written on hearsay. A man of his character and fortitude wouldn't say something on just hearsay. Or he'd have to apologize for it. So, no matter how you look at it, Paul's a nice fella. He's not like me. Thank God. Or I wouldn't have any faith in him, I tell you that. Okay, there must also, but he said, for this must be also heresies among, for there must be also heresies among you. Well, if heresies don't divide you, what in the world does? And if heresies don't cause division, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, man, oh man, that's a tough one. That is so tough that even the Apostle Paul said, the foundation of God stands as sure, having this seal, the Lord, and the Lord alone, and nobody else knows who are his. It's a tough one, but I'm going to tell you, it's not too tough to really find out who is with it or who isn't. Just listen to them. You'll find in the majority of cases they simply cannot leave Brother Branham's word sit the way it is. They got to get some glorious picture out of it instead of saying, hey, the man is saying something right here. Hey, this should be in the scripture. It's going to coincide. There's no big mystery. The mystery's unfolded. If you take that attitude, I don't believe it's too hard to come and see what Brother Branham says in the word. I've been doing it now for a long, long time. And if God's with you, he's going to show you, because let me tell you flat, William Branham could not come and preach another gospel. He couldn't use the Old Testament as reference and be that prophet of God and make a bunch of mistakes. No. Now, when you come together in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, he's going to tell you what you think is the Lord's Supper is not, but I'll tell you what it is. For in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. Man, you talk about a mess. What have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now this lets you know that you can have the communion service and the foot washing right in your church. There's no problem. No problem. This is something ordained to God, the same as you have dedication of babies, the same as you have weddings, the same as you're allowed certain things. Does not desecrate the house of God one little bit. This doesn't either. I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night, the word same is not is in italics, the night in which he was betrayed took bread. They said the same night, you don't need to, because it was the night he was betrayed, that's when he did it. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken you, this do in remembrance of me. There you are. After the same manner, he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do he's off, you drink in remembrance of me. Now remember, Brother Branham said, there's only one thing keeping the Catholic Church and all the Protestants coming together, and that's over the Lord's Supper. Now they're gradually opening doors to come to a place where they all agree and are not disagreeable over anything at all. So we're going to see this broken down more and more. Now, if the Protestant churches, which today are the filthy harlots, prostitutes, the daughter of the harlot, are as far steeped in the garbage of sin which they are, having changed the truth of the word for a lie, having changed it to the place where women can preach, cut their hair, wear illegal dress, everything else, and the men can too, abortion, this, that, and the other, don't you think that they can spiritualize this to the place where, hey, If you think it's this, come on, buddy, it's all right by me. If I think it's that, it's okay by me. And both you're looking at the woman going down the aisle with shorts on, you're wondering if you can get in bed with her. I'm raw. I'm a raw preacher, but I'm going to tell you what goes on. If you haven't got enough brains to know, you're going to know from this pulpit. Because their eyes are full of adultery when they sit with you and have communion, my Bible tells me. So if you're shocked at what Levale says, throw your Bible in the gutter. Burn it. I only make a 20th century. 18th won't do it. 19th won't do it. You get back to Queen Victoria. Thank God for old Queen Victoria. But you're not there anymore. Naked, miserable, blind, and proud of it. We don't lack anything. Hey, man, it's all right. I could tell you a little story about a certain guy that I know, but we'll just skip it. Before I'm said, you can better believe this, that the reason he's sorry for what he did is because he got caught. Because he can't understand why the terrible things that he did makes a man that could never countenance those things want to clip him right in the chops. You got good imaginations by now, use them. As oft you drink this cup, and you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now that's a good point to get together on. Ecumenism right here. He said, well, don't you understand that this drinking and eating has to do with his death? Yes, yes. Well, then does it really matter what's in your mind or what you place there as long as we merged on the understanding? He said it was the body and blood. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. I'll drink with you. Now you're drinking with idolaters. You see how close we are? See, I just read about the Pope going to the voodoo artist. Blessing his horse and blessing the man. Hi, diddle, diddle. The court in the middle. Might as well. The spiritist one day said, Bethlehem is in your belly. The solar plexus brain. That's where Christ is born in you. Well, I heard that when I was 20 years old. That story's 58 years old now, and the stories have only gotten worse. Where did the man get his stupid idea? In a seance. There's stupider ideas coming out of Pentecostals who think they can discern. Your little boy's running around discerning now, and he's splitting up Branhamite churches. We should invite him in here to see how much he splits. He might do the splits. Not by his own volition. If he tried it. Door. Yeah. Oh, I don't prescribe violence. You know I don't. I'm a coward. But I certainly wouldn't hold my breath back. And not stand up for the word of God. Yeah, that takes me back a long time, but I won't talk about it. Let a man examine himself. That's why Brother Branham said anybody can eat and drink in his church as long as they're not living in filthy sexual sins. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I wonder if I can find something here. I'll leave it go. Bring it up another time where Brother Branham answered a question. Examine himself, for he that drinketh and eateth unworthy drinks condemnation, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what we talked about tonight, outside of the fact of filthy living,
You're entitled to the communion table and foot washing. Now, the examination of yourself would have to be, number one, your passive faith, which shows your participation in the true revelation, which signifies you are the seed of God. Now notice the next thing. Unworthy then would be those who have added to the word or questioned to a degree something in the word, vindicated by the prophet. That's the word we talk about. So I would suggest here that the foolish virgins will be eating and drinking unworthily and coming into the judgment. But they'll be allowed in and given eternal life, even as Matthew 25 tells us. There is no mention there of the blood, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, or any of those things. Now, with this thought in mind, what we're looking at, wise and foolish virgin. How would anybody then deny anybody the table of the Lord? Can't do it. Can't do it. You'd have to know that someone has an actual record of filth. And then they'd be those whose eyes are full of lust, trying to get to your table. Just like it says in the book of Jude. So, here we learn the word of God from Brother Branham. Taking everything he says and building from it as our life structure. Hoping to understand more than ever of the truly revealed faith that is in this word and vindicated by a man who is given the authority to vindicate it. Now, I'm not vindicated. The only hope I have is that I'm telling people right. If I'm teaching you wrong, you better believe I'm not teaching you wrong, because I believe something different from what I'm teaching you. No way, shape, and form. I believe everything I've said tonight right from the ground up. And I've been biting in hard, and I shall continue to be so. Because I'm in defense of what I believe, lock, stock, and barrel. And the grace which we have here works both ways. I live here as the place where the ministry that I have goes forth. And Brother Branham said, Lee, you're just like me. You can live any place you want. Because he said, your message is not to a local congregation. Your message goes outside like mine. Those aren't the exact words, but that is the understanding. And I want this understood to full capacity. 100%, and it goes without favor or fear. From now on, I will challenge every single one of you, because I'm going to defend myself and what I believe. I have never perverted what Brother Branham said. I have never used it to justify myself. I've never used it to confuse you or to hurt you. So don't try it on me ever again. A word to the wise or unwise is sufficient. Friendship with Jesus demands sacrifice, rebuttal, everything else. It does. But no man is vindicated outside of William Branham. I've never claimed vindication, but I claim the right to teach what I believe is the truth.
We're going to have the table, Lord. It may sound like a sour note, but that's your tough luck. I got no apologies. Nor will I apologize. I do not intend to, because I have nothing to apologize for anybody. To God, perhaps? No doubt. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. At this particular moment, as we are now going to bring forth the emblems and partake thereof. And I know, Lord God, in heaven, that your word stands. And I've done my best, Lord, to teach what the prophet taught, going word by word, as even he did. And yet he commanded preachers younger than he himself who would take up this message to take what he said and expand it in the sense of deliberating more fully upon the exact precepts that he set forth so that no man could change the word or add to it or take from it, but rather expound on it, showing the people more clearly that every single word knits with every other single word. And there is not one word that's in default concerning another. Any more of the trillions of cells in our body are at default one with another, or in competition, or envious, or in any way intended to be harmful. And as every member in the body of Christ suffers when one suffers, rejoices when one rejoices. Maybe we haven't got that far, Lord. But certainly we do stand with your word tonight, O God. Now we're going to take the table. And as we do, Lord, we know that we will honor your death till you come. That is, when you come in midair to meet us at the wedding supper. It is certainly true, Lord, as far as our faith is concerned and our understanding of the vindication of the prophet, we absolutely honor your resurrection. And in honoring your resurrection, it takes such vast precedence in our minds over your death that you've given us these symbols here to go back to what bought it. To bring us back, Lord, in fellowship and union with you. To cover the sins which are in this fleshly temple. To allow the Holy Spirit to come in and guarantee us the immortality that Adam so vainly tried to reach when it was too late. But in this hour, it is not too late. Lord, where we've been wrong in anything whatsoever, or if any thought of ours should tend to bend in a way that's not straight as an arrow with the word, we ask you, Lord, to help us. Because the word can correct the error. If there's anything in us, Lord, that needs correction, we know the word is there to do it. So help us. In all of these hours, these last days in which we abide, because we know we're soon going to be out of here. Some of us by death. And Brother Branham made this strange statement many years ago. He said, I don't want to leave this life kicking and screaming. I know he knew that many people did. But there's no way he would ever leave it kicking and screaming and fear and all. And by your grace, Lord, there won't be one of us. When we face that great day of crossing over, if we do in death, it will be, as it were, a coronation day. A day that's described by Brother Branham neither light nor dark, a hazy dreary kind of a day, yet you're hearing it, but your crossover will be all the more glorious to take up what we couldn't take up because it wasn't our destiny until that moment. And to be there, Lord, waiting with the others. The seven church age members waiting to come back, anxiously anticipating the coming back to pick up glorified bodies. And then to go up again, far beyond the dimension in which that seven church age bride dwelt and the other six with them. To go up, Lord, in your very presence to the incarnation. To see fully that one in the form that we're anxious to see him in. Which we might say, not that we want to be too familiar, Lord, but see one who is like us, because he came like us, that we might become like him. And Lord, that satisfies us. As Job said, when I awake in his likeness, I'll be satisfied. So that's how we stand tonight. So Father God, we just look to you for whatever, what the blessing comes out of these tokens. We take these emblems to give us further strength and understanding and to walk in the pilgrim pathway. We give you glory and